It was 3 months ago that Binghamton, New York, was the scene of a shooting aimed at one of its most vulnerable communities, immigrants. Many were gathered at the city's Immigrant Services Center when Jiverly Wong, a mentally ill immigrant from Vietnam, burst in and killed 13 people before taking his own life. Brian Mann was one of the reporters who covered that shooting for NPR. He went back to Binghamton recently to find out how the community is coping.
I first went to Binghamton back in early April on a raw, gray afternoon. This city folded in the valley of the Susquehanna River was reeling. The red brick building that houses the American Civic Association was surrounded by police. As dusk fell, I met Omri Yigal on the street. He looked unsteady and a little confused. It turned out he was waiting for word of his wife, Dolores. She was one of the students inside, but no one could tell him whether she was alive.
So I'm going to go home. And let's just keep hoping.
Dolores Yigal was 53 years old, an immigrant from the Philippines. She had gone to the Civic Association that morning to study English.
Hi, I'm Brian Mann.
How are you?
Very good to see you.
Come in.
It's a glorious summer day when I return to Binghamton. This time I meet Omri at his small, meticulously tidy house.
How are you doing?
I'm managing. Just managing. That's it.
We sit at his dining room table, and honestly, he looks exhausted. He still looks confused, and who wouldn't be?
The first bullet my wife took was in her hand. She had nothing but her hand to stand between her and a 45.
He shakes his head. On the refrigerator, there's a schedule, a list of things to do. It breaks Omri's day down into 15-minute fragments, into manageable pieces.
I know how to get myself out of bed and put my feet on the floor and get to work.
Step by step, he's made it through the last 3 months, but he still talks about Dolores in the present tense as if she's in the next room.
I can't get away from her. She is, she's always here.
We talk for hours. Omri talks about his Jewish faith and how he's reconnected with his synagogue. In a corner of the living room, there's an electric piano, one of those player pianos. Omri says one of the program songs was their song.
I don't listen to it a lot, but I listen to it from time to time.
Can I hear it?
Sure, you can hear it. It's called Winter.
Omri holds out his arms and sways a little, like he's still dancing. The truth is, most of us move on from violence like this. Columbine, Virginia Tech, Binghamton. They fade or we turn away. Drive through Binghamton's neighborhoods and you won't see obvious signs of the shooting.
We planted the tulips up here for the victims and that created some controversy. It was 14 that were planted and some people thought it should have only been 13.
Binghamton's mayor, Matt Ryan, says local churches insisted on planting one extra tulip for the shooter, Jiverly Wong. He meets me in the park above the Susquehanna, where vigils were held last April. Ryan says he's not sure where his city goes next.
You know, a lot of people have gone back to the normal routines, but this is a small city. Some point during your day, you're going by, you know, a lot of people go by that building, and it's hard, you know, because of what we saw there.
So a lot of the wreckage here is invisible. And people like Lubomir Zobny are private, almost shy in their sorrow.
Actually, everyone says time heals. It doesn't work that way yet.
Yeah. For me, you had a nerve. There it goes.
Lubomir is an immigrant from Ukraine. His wife, Maria, was 60 years old, a caseworker who died in the shooting. He's a small man, gray-haired. He, too, sits at his dining room table, face stiff with effort. An icon of the Virgin Mary hangs above the sideboard.
You have to have a certain control. And if I go to work, if the wrong thing hits, like the answering machine. We haven't changed it yet, and that's my wife's voice still there.
You reached a landing.
That was her, Lubomir says. As we look through photo albums, his daughter, Christia, joins us. She's 22 and was away at college when she got the news.
If we ever had a problem, my mom would be the one to solve it. If my mom was here, she'd guide us in the right direction, but now we have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's true.
Sitting there, I can see how much Lubomir and Christia love each other. But it's also plain that they just don't know what to think, or what to say, or what to do.
Right now, I just see my world, everything crushed. The journey's really come to a halt, and I don't know how it's going to turn out.
This is what it's like when the shooting stops, when the sirens stop blaring. This is what's left when TV trucks pull away and the funerals and press conferences are over. This is the wound. After thinking about it a while, Christia says she hopes Binghamton will decide to build a memorial, something permanent to honor those who died.
Because they gave up all that. They gave up their lives for something they stood for, something they all believed in. They all wanted to become Americans. My mother just wanted to help people.
Amri Yagal wants a memorial too. But when he's done settling his affairs here, Amri says he hopes to make a pilgrimage, studying and maybe settling in Israel.
I'm trying to arrange my life now so that I can leave Binghamton, so that I can fly away, get away from this place.
There are 13 families in Binghamton, all facing similar decisions, similar questions. The American Civic Association is also trying to rebuild, hoping to hire new staff and reopen with full services as soon as possible. The family of Jivarli Wong, they sold their house. They left the area. Local authorities say they didn't feel safe here, in a city where their son unleashed so much sorrow. For NPR News, I'm Brian Mann.